I sat down with a brother today. Most of y'all, and Ron, go ahead and come up here. Most of y'all know Ron. We call him Ron. His name is Ron. But we call him Ron. Ron comes and plays drums for us and helps us do ministry, travels with me some when I go. And I sat down with Ron and he said, I got a word from the Lord. Today we talked about this word. Look at what God's doing. It's like God is setting him up, teeing him up. So I told him, I said, I want you to deliver the word of the Lord tonight. And I want you to open your heart because he's already preached it to me. So I've got to hear it. It better be better the second time. Right? And let's open our heart. Let's hear what God is going to say to us tonight. I'm telling you folks, I cannot overstress to you the importance of body ministry. Every joint supplies. And until we learn that in the body of Christ, we're not going to flow in the miraculous like God wants us to. God has something in each one of you. And so, Ron, I want you to turn loose on him like you me. Amen. I told him, I'm white lightning, he's dark thunder. So anyway.
Well, thank you. Okay, so can I treat this like home? Can I treat this like home? Can I treat this like home? Okay, all right, so here we go. So this is, the salutation is praise the Lord, saints. Okay. No. See, no. Let's stop right now. Okay. So let me explain. The salutation is praise the Lord. Now, you do not say praise the Lord back to me. When I say praise the Lord, saints, there should be a roar that goes to the King of Kings. Can we try this? Okay. Praise the Lord, saints. Yeah, okay, all right. Now I know I'm in the right place. All right. Okay, first of all, thank you guys for having me. I'm going to step around this thing because I know y'all can't see me. I'm a little height impaired, so, you know. That's just me. My name is Ron. My birth name is Ronald, but nobody calls me that. Except for my mom and dad, who may actually be watching on the stream. So, hey, mama, hey, daddy, hey, Aspen, Sean, you know. Get that out the way. But thank you guys for loving on me and accepting my little self. And I have to give a big shout out to Pastor Shane and Pam for. I told him this earlier today. He said about 5 years ago, the Lord started stirring him to move back to Cookeville from Louisiana. Now he was, you know, they were the pastors of a very successful ministry down there. And it's a very, very difficult thing to sow a yes in a season of your life when you're on top. It's very difficult to sow a yes to basically go from top to bottom. Him and his family moved all the way back from Monroe, Louisiana to, you know, little bitty old Cookeville, Tennessee to plant another church. And, you know, I mean, we got 300 churches in Cookeville. So I'm sure he was thinking like, what in the world has God got me doing? But let me let you know, Pastor, he sent you back for me. If he didn't send you back for nobody else, he sent you back for me. Okay. And I shared this with him earlier today when we were sitting down at lunch. And Pam, I want to share this with you as well. And Adam, y'all's family is, because y'all sold a yes in a season where you were on top and it seems like you had to start all over again and you left everything that you knew and that you were comfortable with, the Lord is springing up a harvest of yes, and it's going to be because of y'all. Because of your yes, there's going to be an influx and a harvest of other yeses that are going to come from what you guys are doing here. So I just want, that's been turning over in my spirit for weeks, and I was supposed to let y'all know that. So I'm just going to give you that, okay? All right. Anybody believe the word of the Lord?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So tonight, I want to talk about Man, it feels good in this room. It feels good in here. I want to talk a little bit tonight. My message title is Fear Before Fire. Let's get back to the basics, okay? Now, you may be thinking, like, what in the world is that got to do with anything? What's it got to do with anything? Well, the Spirit of the Lord that is in this room tonight, when Pastor Shane took the mic, I already knew something was cooking. I could already feel it. I could feel it. Something was turning in the atmosphere. We're going to talk about fear, but we're going to talk about it in a different manner than what you may be thinking, okay? So can we do that? Can we talk a little bit about that tonight? I promise y'all, I'm going to step like this, and I might walk. I'm probably going to stand out here for a little bit too, so just so y'all can see me, because remember, I'm height impaired, so. Okay, so when we think about the word fear, what do we usually think about? Terror. Ah, I got a funny story about like that kind of fear. So a few years ago, my wife talked me into going to a haunted house. Now, I don't like haunted houses, okay? I don't have no interest in that. That's not my thing. You know, some people like that kind of thing. They like to be scared out of their mind, and they, you know, they like the thrill of it. I'm not that way, okay? You know, I like to play drums. I like to play basketball. You know, I like to do normal things. I don't know what in the world is, you know. But anyway, so a few years ago, my wife talked me into going to this maze of terror, is what I called it, in Nashville, and guess what the name was? The Slaughterhouse. Okay, so we get there. She finally talks me into it. You know, in my logical mind, I'm thinking, okay, why in the world would I pay money for someone to scare me? I can scare myself for free. But, I mean, that's just me thinking, all right? Okay, so we get here, and there's a line outside the door, and they got out, you know, and it's downtown Nashville. It's around Halloween time, and, you know, they've got all of the things, you know, they got disclaimers, hey, please don't touch our actors, they won't touch you, blah, 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 yakety schmackety. Okay, so we get in there, and y'all, that is probably the scariest I think I have ever been in my entire life, and I'm a grown man. And I'm not scared to admit that to y'all tonight. I was a grown man screaming. Jerry, come here for a second. Come here. I'm gonna show you what I was doing. This is what I was doing the whole time. We got in there, and the first thing was, any of y'all see the movie of The Ring or The Grudge, the girl with the hair and the, yeah. So she was the first one we encountered. And turn around, Jerry. Turn around. So this is what this one right here was doing the whole time. It was four of us. It was my wife was behind me. It was me. It was my wife's aunt's husband at the time, and then, you know, her up front. This is what I was doing. We moved past this girl, and I was like, ooh, man, that's a good looking wax statue, man. And all of a sudden, she lunged, and this is what I was doing. I did that the whole time. I did that the whole time. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was doing. And look, I ain't got ain't no shame in my game. I ain't scared to tell you. I was scared out of my mind. So we finally get through this maze of terror, like I said. We finally get through it, and we get to the end, and again, that's what I was doing the whole time. We ran through all kinds of rooms, and you got to crawl, and so I see the light of day when we're crawling out of this place, and I'm like, oh, thank God, this is over. Well, I get to crawling, and I've got my wife's hand, and I'm crawling out, and I'm like, yay, this is over, woo, awesome. Well, little did I know, to the left of me, Leatherface is firing up the chainsaw. Okay, now I'm gonna share this story. So now all of y'all gonna know, and you can make fun of me all you want, but that's okay. If something get out to us, I guarantee you ain't gonna catch this one. So Leatherface fires up the chainsaw. He's coming to my left this way, and I'm crawling out of the tunnel that way, and when I see him, I had all I could take. So I let go of my wife's hand, and I commenced to doing the only thing. You know how they say there's two reactions, you know, the fight or flight? I took flight. I literally took flight. So I took off running down the street, In fact, I took off running so fast to the guy that was supposed to be chasing me as Leatherface, he had to stop because he knew he wasn't going to catch me, and then he was laughing. And so then there's a line of people down the street trying to get into this place. They all see me take off running. They're all laughing. And I turned the corner. Y'all, I was going to run back to Cookville. And the only reason I stopped because at the time, I still had like a clip, you know, from my phone, and my phone started sliding off my hips. So I was like, you know, trying to grab it. I was like, okay, I got to make sure I have a phone because I may have to call somebody to come pick me up or whatever. But, you know, but yeah, that's my story about fear. But typically when we think about fear, we think about that kind of thing. We think about horror. We think about, just being super afraid. It's a very, very unpleasant emotion. It's an unpleasant thing. Most people don't want to feel fear. I mean, I don't want to feel fear. I don't. Do y'all? Can anybody in here tell me, oh, I just love feeling afraid? I didn't think so. I was hoping there wasn't going to be no hands because I was going to be like, you need to come down here with your perfume right now. But, so, and then in the last 2 years, we have been bombarded with fear. I mean, it's fear that I have never seen. I've never seen before. I'm 40 years old, and I have never seen the kind of fear that has been propagated and kind of inundated into our culture, into society. I mean, we're scared of sickness. We're scared of, losing jobs, and we're scared of, all kinds of things. It's just fear, 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 fear. But the kind of fear I want to talk about tonight is the healthy kind of fear. It's the fear of the Lord. Now, the Bible gives us so many examples of the fear of the Lord and why it's so important. One scripture that comes to mind is, Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning. In the beginning of things, let's talk about the basics, right? The word basic. Let's just take that apart for just a second. The word basic. Typically, you would think of that as like, we make terms like, oh, you basic, man. You basic. You just basic. We think of plain. But basic in its definition is really, it's the foundation of a thing. That's what it means. It means the foundation of a thing. So if we want to get somewhere, if we want to know what the thing is supposed to be, then we got to have our foundation right. If you talk to any builder, any builders in the room tonight, any builders, contractors? Yeah. Okay. So I was thinking about this phrase. Well, it's not how you start. It's about how you finish. I guarantee you, a builder will disagree with you, because if you don't start the thing, get the foundation right, it don't matter how you finish, because it's all gonna fall. Am I right? All right. So we gotta get the basic. We gotta get this foundational thing right. Okay. All right. So y'all ready to jump into this? All right. Proverbs 29:18 is a very familiar passage of scripture. We quote it, in Christendom, we quote it all the time. Without vision, the people perish. We say it all the time. The Amplified Bible says it like this: without revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained or without boundaries. Okay? So it's safe to say, when we get revelation of God, we also get revelation of who we are. Correct? All right. This kind of fear, this kind of revelation, is actually what keeps us. It keeps us within the bounds of our humanity. Pastor Shane said while he was exhorting, talking about just running up on somebody, talking about running up on God with our attitudes and with our things and all this kind of stuff. The fear of the Lord is what will restrain us or put the bounds up so that we don't do that, because we have to remember he's God. Now we live in a very hyper grace talked about culture. We talk about, you know, how God is gracious and how he's merciful, and he is. He's all those things. Jesus, even when he taught us to address God, he didn't say, when you pray like this, our God. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, say our Father. And that's true. He is our Father. But we also have to remember that aside from him being our Father, he's still God. I think about my father. My father is a pastor. Him and my mom are pastors in Memphis. Memphis is where I grew up. I moved up here in the year 2000, which was ages ago now. I think about how to this day, I still feel like a 12-year-old boy when I'm with my dad. And I'm 40 years old and I got kids of my own. I still feel that way. I've always been a daddy's boy. I've been a mama's boy too. Mama, I see. No shade, mama, no shade. Don't be mad at me. I know you're gonna call me later and tell me how you always talk about your daddy. But I've always been a daddy's boy. I've been a mama's boy too, because I'm the only boy anyway. But I think about my relationship with my dad and how there was always this, can I say reverent? Yes. Can I say that? And it not sound like sacrilegious? Yes. I've always had a reverential kind of, you know, dealing with my father. Now, my mom could tell me something and I'd be like, yeah, you know, whatever. But then daddy was a whole different story, you know, because I'm not going to run up on my dad. Even now, I'm 40 years old and we're actually business partners. We're in business together. You know, there are some things that you can say to a business partner, you know, but at the end of the day, his ultimate title for me, his ultimate relation to me, is that's my dad. Like, he's my father. I'm not finna be running up on my dad just, you know, any kind of way, you know? So there was a, I was about 17 when daddy kind of had to put me in check. He had to put me in check. I was 17 years old. I thought I knew everything. We were at home and dad was home from the road, and you know, me and mom, I had jawed off something inappropriate. I don't know what I said, but it was something stupid. And I messed up and said that in front of my dad. Now, my dad was probably sitting about where Pastor Shane is sitting. Whenever I said what I said, my dad got up out of the chair, didn't say a word. He got up out of the chair, came over to me in the center of the living room and said, son, if you ever talk to your mama like that again, I'm gonna knock you out. And y'all, he took his one finger. Now, one thing you have to know about my dad, my family, we're not tall people, okay? So we're just not, okay? And I see the people in the back straining, so I'm gonna stand up here so you can see me. Because if I stand down there, you're just over my head. So we're not very tall, but my dad's hands are probably double the size of mine. He took his one finger, y'all, one finger, and he didn't even poke me. He literally touched me, like, right there in the center of my chest. He said, son, if you ever talk to your mama like that again, I'm gonna knock you out. And I knew he meant it. And y'all, with that one little finger, he sucked every ounce of anything that I had in my system out of me. Y'all, I was 17 years old. I will never forget it. I feel like it happened yesterday. Y'all, I went back to my room and cried like a little girl for like an hour. But that's a reverential fear. The word fear, when it comes to God, it actually encompasses everything. There is a bit of terror, holy terror, with it. And I think in our culture, we kind of shy away from that because we always talking about fear. Oh, fear is a spirit and you need to cast it out. And Yeah, that's true. But we also need to make sure that we keep in our minds that God is God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is none beside him, none above him. And this kind of fear actually keeps us in our place. I want to bring to your attention a passage of an event that happened. Okay, I want to go back to Exodus 20. You don't necessarily have to turn there. We're gonna get to my launch scripture here in just a second. Is that all right? Is that all right? We do a little work. All right. Okay. So in Exodus 20, Moses tells the people. This is after God has come down on the mountain. It's all smoke, it's lightning, it's fire, it's ram's horns, it's all kinds of stuff going on. It's all kinds of, these natural, I guess they would call it a natural disaster now. I don't know what they would call it. Anyway, it's a lot of stuff going on this mountain. This mountain is rocking. And Moses says, hey, people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that you would fear him and not sin. Now, if you look at that statement right there, it looks like the most glaring contradiction in the world. He says, don't be afraid, but then fear. Then, so which one is it? Like, don't be afraid or do be afraid. What do we need to do? And he's talking about that reverential fear of the Lord. Now, we see from this passage of scripture that fearing the Lord or the fear of the Lord can actually keep us from sin. So that kind of blows a hole in some of our thinking that, oh, well, I'm, I can't do that. I can't live a holy life. I can't live a life without sin. Only Jesus can do that. No, the scripture just says that his fear will go before you so you won't sin. I mean, I'm just saying, the book said it. I didn't write it. So, and that kind of fear also reminds me of, how kids in school, I don't know if they still do this now, but in school they used to have like the show and tell day, or your parents can come to school with you. I don't know if they even do that nowadays. They may or they may not, I don't know. Things have changed so much. But you know how when you're in school and your mom or your dad comes to school with you, you know how different you act when mom and dad are there? Oh yeah, because you would act big, you would big and bad. Oh man, I've been this height most of my life. I was gonna say I was a little guy, but I mean I've always been a little guy. Micah, you can attest. But so you act differently while the parent is there. You may be the class clown when they're not there, but when mom and dad is there, oh yeah, you straighten up and fly right. Because you know what's in store for you if you don't. So is it wrong? Is it too much to say that we should have that thought in our mind? No, God is not waiting behind some tree with a club to smite you down the moment you overstep. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying here is that remember who he is. Remember who he is. Yes, sir. That's what the fear of the Lord is about. It's remembering who he is. Yes, he is our Father. Yes, he is merciful. Yes, he is gracious. But don't forget he is God. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Just like that kid, when mom and dad is sitting right there, hey, you was gonna throw that piece of paper, but you look over there and be like, I better not do that. I don't want to do that. Because I don't want what's on the other side of that, right? That's because I don't want what's on the other side of that. Okay. The prophet Isaiah had a very powerful encounter with God in Isaiah chapter 6. he sees God. He sees God in all of his majesty. And what was the response? Erect him. What did he say? How did he respond? He said, I'm ruined. I'm ruined. He didn't try to do like Peter did, you know, in the New Testament when they took him up on the mountain and he sees, you know, Moses and Elijah and Jesus and everybody's transfigured. And he's like, yo, man, let's make a monument to this moment. I'll build three temples, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And I'm sure, you know, John and James were like, dude, shut up. Shut up. That's not the proper response for what we're seeing right now. It says everybody was on the ground like dead men. That's what happens when you get a true revelation of the fear of God. That's the proper response. A lot of times we don't need to say nothing. I love how when the atmosphere shifted, Pastor Shane just kind of stopped. Just stopped everything, because in that is a very holy moment, and those are the kind of moments that actually fuel revival. If we recognize those moments and we can I say navigate? I almost don't want to use that word because it almost feels like we need to do something. But most when it comes to the fear, that you don't need to do anything. You just need to pause and just hold up there and listen. And lastly, in Acts chapter 5, and this is another very familiar story, Ananias and Sapphira, right? So they do their thing and, you know, judgment comes, and unfortunately, they didn't make it. And it says, what I want to key in on is, it says, after all that, it says, great fear came upon all the believers and everyone who heard about it. Can you imagine that? Now, this kind of fear was definitely encompassing everything. It was encompassing terror. Because, I mean, like, yo, man, you hear about Ananias and Sapphira? Bro, they just dropped dead, man. Like, what happened? Yo, they just told a lie, man. I didn't mean it, you know. I'm sure there were probably people like, okay, God, please don't smite me. Here's all of it. Just take it all. Seriously, I mean, but so it says great fear came upon all the believers and everybody who heard it. So there were saints that heard about this and were like, ooh, yeah, better stay in check. And I'm sure it was unbelievers like, yo, what? Yeah, I might need to sidestep. I might need to go back over here. Let me just stay over here. But okay, so now we've kind of did a little bit of groundwork. So what is the fear of the Lord? What is it? Well, the best way to define the fear of the Lord is through the scriptures, correct?
Yes, sir.
I can give you a really plain and simple definition of it. And it's this. It's simply walking with the awareness that he is there all the time.
Yes, sir.
So you basically act like you would with your mama or daddy sitting beside you in the classroom. And they've been walking with you the whole day. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, so he is here. He is right here. It's just, are we aware of it? Are we aware? So let's go to the book. The best answer to the question is found in the scriptures. According to the Bible, the fear of the Lord is, and I got six quick points about the fear of the Lord, okay? Got 6 points. First, it is wisdom and the foundation of all knowledge and wisdom, right? Okay, first scripture, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline, right? We talked about beginnings, the basics, the foundation. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is where that starts, okay? Put that next scripture up there, Noah. We'll go to Psalm 111, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever. Everybody see that? All right. Now, what I told you in the beginning, Proverbs 9, I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible because it gives it a little bit more, gives a little bit more something on it. It says, the reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and preeminent part of wisdom, its starting point and its essence. Man, that's good. Now, the word preeminent there, I like words, like definitions, like trying to figure out like what words mean and like why they're so significant. So the word preeminent there, it means to have a paramount rank, dignity, or importance, right? Okay. Now, James 1:5 lets us know that God is the source of all wisdom, and if we need it, we ask him, right? Okay. So the answer for the request for wisdom is found where? In the fear of the Lord. So if you need wisdom, you ask God. And what does he give as the answer? The fear of the Lord. That's the answer. That's the answer to the question. Why is this the answer? Why is this the answer? Because before anything can be built properly, there must be a good foundation laid. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Okay. All right. Getting ahead of myself here. Noah, go ahead and put up Job 28, verse 28. We're still on the first point. Wisdom, it is, the fear of the Lord is wisdom and the foundation of all knowledge and wisdom. Job 28. He said to mankind, the fear of the Lord, aha, that is wisdom. And to turn from evil is understanding. I read an interesting article about Jewish families and how they teach their children. Now, those of us who are Bible readers know that the first thing God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, you know, basically, I'm going to paraphrase this. The law, you need to teach it to the next generation, right? Is that right? And this article was talking about before Jewish families teach their kids anything, before they send them to school, before they, you know, learn about anything else in life, they teach them the Torah or God's law. That's what they teach them first. But by the time, before they can even walk, they're learning the law, right? So again, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It's the beginning. So this is the part that matters the most, the foundation. So this is what they do. And they also teach them how to pray and sing based on the Psalms. That's the beginning of their education. So before they go to school to learn how to be a doctor, a lawyer, and all this kind of stuff, you know, they learn God's law, because God's law is the foundation of everything else that you're going to need to know in life. Is that right? All right. Okay, so point number two, the fear of the Lord must be taught and learned, right? Deuteronomy, go ahead, put up Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. Now I found this really interesting when I was looking over this. Even before Israel had a king, even before they asked for a king, God already had a provision for them, or for their king, I should say. Because here in Deuteronomy 17, This, he's talking about the king, their future king, who wouldn't come for, you know, quite a few years later. It says, it is to remain with him, and he is to read from it all the days of his life, so that he may learn, there's the word, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to observe all the words of this instruction, and to do his statutes. So the fear of the Lord must be taught and learned. And how do we learn it? How do we learn it? We got to get in the book. You don't learn it any other way. You can't learn it by, you know, any of this other stuff, you know, philosophy and reading books about the book. You need to read the book.
Yes, sir.
If you want to get the knowledge and wisdom that you need to succeed in life, you got to get in the book, right? All right. Okay, now put that second scripture up there. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. He says, gather the people, men, women, dependents, and the resident aliens within your city gates, so that they may listen and learn, there it is again, to fear the Lord your God and be careful to follow all the words of this law. He says, be careful. Be careful to follow this. You know, remember the child with the parent at the school? Be careful. You got to watch your step. You got to watch your step. Okay, so third point, the fear of the Lord is a treasure. It's something to be valued. It's very highly valued. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 6. He says, there will be times of security for you, a storehouse of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Where have we seen those two before? And here's the part I like. It says, the fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. It's something exceedingly valued. I think when I see the word treasure, I immediately start thinking about like pirates, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, treasure ships and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, you know. But it's valuable. It's valuable. And for some reason, in our teaching and our preaching, sometimes we think that it's, and maybe it's because we misunderstand it. And maybe those who were trying to teach us to fear the Lord. I remember coming up, the tribe I came up in, this area here was so sacred. You didn't walk across this. You didn't walk across this. It was almost like, you know, some of the older saints were like, baby, don't you walk across there. You don't want to make God angry. You don't want to make him angry. Don't you dare defile that pulpit. That was kind of the thing that I grew up with that. I grew up with that. Anybody else grew up like that? You bet not. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. You bet not. Don't you dare. God gonna strike you down walking across that pulpit. But I need to get across to the drums. You better go around. Don't you dare. But it's shorter. I don't care. You want to die in his presence today? But I didn't even realize at the time, but they were actually teaching us, they were trying to teach us the principle of the fear of the Lord. That's what they were trying to teach. You know, maybe the method was a little, you know, but that's what they were trying to teach. So, and I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Okay, so we got the fear of the Lord is a treasure. We've got that one. Point number 4. The fear of the Lord is life-giving and life-sustaining. And that sounds extremely contradictory because we think of the word fear, we don't think of life. We think of death, right?
Yeah.
You don't think of life when you think of fear. But the word of the Lord says that it is life-giving and basically it'll give you life. And also, it will save your life. Don't believe me? Here we go. Let's go to the book. Let's find out about it. Let's go to Proverbs 14, verse 27. It says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. What do you know? There it is. It says it is a fountain of life. Not just life, it's a fountain of life. What is the fountain that they're always chasing? The fountain of youth. Yeah. It's okay. It says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You want to find the fountain of youth? Fear the Lord. Simple. You want to find a fountain of youth? Fear the Lord. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 10. Go to Proverbs 10, verse 27. This is a good one. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. How many times have we heard that one preached on? The fear of the Lord prolongs life. You know, we try to do a lot of things that will prolong our life. You know, we eat healthier, we exercise, and, you know, things that are, and all those things are great. You know, the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little. It didn't say it didn't profit at all. It just says it profits a little, you know. It'll help you out if you do it. I got you. All right, let's go to Proverbs 19. Let's go to Proverbs 19. The fear of the Lord is life-giving and life-sustaining. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Says the fear of the Lord leads to life. One will sleep at night without danger. Okay? Pretty self-explanatory, right? Pretty self-explanatory. You know, we pray Psalm 91, you know, no plague come nigh thy dwelling, and you know, so, but the fear of the Lord is where that all begins. That's where that begins. You must fear the Lord. And so point number five is I really, really like this one. And I didn't even, I almost jumped up and ran around my house when I saw this. Point number five, the fear of the Lord is actually one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Don't believe me? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Verse number 2. It's talking about Jesus, but check this out. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And verse 3 begins with, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. So it's something that we can actually be excited about. It's not something that's supposed to drag us down and make us, oh, you know, well, you know, I will do that, but man, I feel the Lord, man. I just can't. It's not supposed to be something that drags us down. It's something that we can actually get great joy from and delight from. I mean, like, I don't know, just thinking about the points that we've already gone over. I mean, it's got to be taught, it's got to be learned. It's a treasure. It's life-giving, life-sustaining. I mean, like, who in here can honestly say that, no, I don't want to prolong my life. I don't want my life to be sustained. And, you know, I mean, who can honestly say that? I mean, come on. I mean, don't be silly. But yeah, it's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that we've been praying for, we've been crying out for, is for the Holy Spirit to move and to breathe on us and to really do what he wants to do in this church and also in our region. So it's really cool that the fear of the Lord is actually one of those manifestations. Point number 6, the fear of the Lord is God's will for his people.
Yes, it is.
It's God's will for us. It's his will. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse number 12. This is out of the Amplified version. It says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? What does he require from us? Want to know what it is? Here it is. But to fear and worship the Lord your God with all filled reverence and profound respect, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, your choices, your thoughts, your whole being. So it's God's will. It's God's will for us to walk in this kind of fear. So I have a few questions that I want to ask you to kind of close this down a little bit here. I got four questions for you. The first question is, does my life actually reflect the fear of the Lord? This is, I don't necessarily want you to answer this to me. I want you to, this is things that I want you to kind of contemplate. The Bible says we should examine ourselves. So I want us to examine ourselves tonight. Does my life actually reflect the fear of the Lord? Can people see it? Do they know? Are you out here, you know, are you actually living what it is that you sing about, shout about, jump about in here? Are you actually living it? Or are you out here living, you know, living raggedy? I don't know. That's a question that you have to answer for yourself. Question number two. Do I stand in awe of the God of the universe? Do we stand in awe? Are we awestruck? Do we feel like Peter? Like we have to make a monument every time there's a powerful encounter? Do we feel like we have to do something? Or do we just stand in awe and just bask in his presence? Do we? I don't know. You have to answer that for yourself. Question number three. What is my posture before the Almighty? What is my posture? Pastor's been talking about posturing ourselves for the lost. What is our posture when it comes to God? Are we coming in with attitudes and all of our stuff and, you know, basically trying to run up on God, makes, you know, well, God, I need you. You know, we've been taught to decree and to declare, and all those things are great, and we should do those things, but we gotta make sure we keep the boundaries in place, because, you know, I wish I would run up on my dad and be like, hey, Dad, you need to do this. Again, I'm grown and I'm a grown child, but yeah, I wish I would walk up on Pastor Bowie and tell him he about to do anything. Not gonna like what's on the other side of that. Might be waking up in 2 weeks. I mean, I told y'all, I mean, his hands are like the double, you know, they're like double my size. Like, I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that. But no, seriously, that's our posture is so important when it comes to God. How are we positioning ourselves? Are we staying within the boundaries of our own humanity? Do we know our place? When Isaiah had that powerful encounter, the powerful vision in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw that, he immediately knew his place. He knew his place. And the first thing he did, he responded with fear. That was how he responded. He knew his place. It wasn't that he was, you know, he was, oh, I deserve to be here. I'm whatever. He knew his place. So do we know our place? Do we know our place when it comes to God Almighty? I don't know. That's a question you have to answer for yourself. And the last question, am I working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, like the New Testament says? Am I doing that? Because this fear that we've been talking about tonight, it doesn't just mean reverence and awe. It also means holy terror. It does. It encompasses the whole thing. Sometimes we define words and we take different definitions You know, a word could have, you know, I don't know, 7 points. You know, look at Merriam-Webster. It could have 7 different, you know, points on it. And we can kind of pick and choose which direct, you know, which definition we want. But the fear of the Lord encompasses everything that the word fear means. From the terror to the reverence to all of that. It encompasses all of it. So are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? That's the question that, you know, we all have to answer this question for ourselves. Is there anyone in here that can honestly say, I'm struggling with the spirit of fear, the wrong kind of fear? Is there anyone that would actually say that? Good. This is awesome. Because I was just gonna tell you, because if you are struggling with the spirit of fear, the answer for it is the fear of the Lord. That's the answer. Hey Noah, put that other question back up there, bud. The one you just went from. There it is. The other. I forgot to put this one on the new page. One more question. Are my decisions, the other screen, the next one. Okay, cool. Are my decisions a direct result of the fear of the Lord or the spirit of fear? That's kind of what I want to kind of end with. Are my decisions based on the fear of the Lord, or are they based on a spirit of fear? And we have to be careful with we have to know the difference and be able to discern between the two. Correct? All right. Okay. Well, thank y'all so much for your attentiveness, and thank y'all for having me. I hope you were blessed. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Pastor. All right, can I pray over you guys before we go?
Yes.
Father, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for these precious people. Father, I pray that the message that you gave me was communicated clearly, and that they were able to understand what you were trying to say. God, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the leaders of this house. I thank you, Father, that they are men and women after your heart. And Father, I pray over these precious people that for the remainder of this week that they would have God encounters. Father, visit them in dreams and visions. Father, just like your word says in Joel, you said you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. The young man will see visions. The old man will dream dreams. Father, you will pour it out on all flesh. Father, visit us in dreams and visions, Father, because we want revival. We want revival, God. That's why we're here. That's why we're here on a Wednesday night. That's why we're here on Sunday. God, we want revival. And God, we know that you're faithful to your word, and you're faithful to hear our cries because we're yours. Father, I pray that this week that we would have that awareness that you are right there all the time. So that, Father, whenever temptation comes, when that coworker, when that person, when that thing happens, Father, that we would remember that you are there. And that because we fear you, we would turn away from sin. And we would turn to you. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this region, in this building, in this people. God, I love you and I praise you. And it's in Jesus' name that everybody said, amen.
Come on, give Ron a great big hand. He did great. Not bad. Not bad. I love you, man. Proud of you. Very proud of you. What a word from the Lord. I want you to put up that last statement. Look at, check his last statement out right here. The last statement, not the bend. The last statement there. Uh-oh, I done thrown him off. I threw him a curveball back there. I thought this was one of the greatest things that he said all night. No. The next one, the one that says, the answer to the spirit of fear is the fear of the Lord. Say that with me. The answer to the spirit of fear is the fear of the Lord. All the fear that's been going on, whether I don't care what it's over, the answer to the spirit of fear is the fear of the Lord. That right there was worth the whole night right there. And so anyway, Ron, I think you did an amazing job. God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing the word of God with us tonight.